The first reading is written in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 31, to be found on page 792 in the Church Bible. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is the word of the Lord.
The Gospel is written in John, chapter 17, verse 20, to be found on page 1085 in the Church Bible. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus has been praying for his disciples, and now he carries on praying for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and they will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I may myself may be in them. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Shall we pray before we look at God's word together? Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for your words, for the Bible. Please help us now by your Holy Spirit to hear what you have to say to each one of us, because we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Elson for reading the Bible to us. And those two passages from the Bible record words spoken 600 years or so apart. Yet because the Bible is one big story, they've got a number of things in common. The words were both spoken by God. In that Old Testament reading in Jeremiah, it's God speaking, God the Father speaking. He tells Jeremiah to write it down. And in the New Testament, as Sue pointed out, it's Jesus speaking, him praying. They're both spoken into events in the area of Jerusalem in Israel, 600 years apart. They're both spoken just before God is about to carry out holy and terrible judgment because of rebellion against him. And they are both showing the amazing love and grace of God, because they're both part of God's big story to rescue us from the judgment that we deserve. And because the promises spoken by God in Jeremiah, 600 years before Jesus, are, as Jesus prays, about to be fulfilled by Jesus himself. If you've come to church today, or if you're watching through the live stream and you're a Christian, it's because God made a promise to rescue you. And he fulfilled that promise the day after this prayer, as he died on the cross for you and me on that first Good Friday. And on the first Easter Sunday, Jesus was raised to life, beating sin and death, and given us that opportunity to be rescued by Jesus and to become children of God forever. So if you're a Christian here now, just remind yourself, maybe you want to just close your eyes for a second and thank God. How awesome is God's love, his mercy, his grace, that you and I deserve to be separated from God forever. But because of Jesus, you are promised, you have eternal life in God's presence forever. If you're not a Christian here or watching, the promise God made and the promise that Jesus fulfilled is also for you, if you put your trust, your life in the hands of Jesus. So please just keep listening. We're going to look at John 17 first, on page 1085. If you've got a church Bible, I think Kirsty's going to put the verse up as well as we go along. Jesus knew that later this evening, that evening, he was going to be betrayed and arrested. And next day that he would be tortured and crucified on the cross, taking the judgment for God of God on himself, the judgment that you and I deserve for turning our backs to God. And Jesus' prayer here is in three parts. Verses 1 to 5, as Jesus prepares to go to the cross, he prays to the Father that the crucifixion will glorify God. In part 2 of the prayer, verses 6 to 19, Jesus prays for his closest disciples who are with him there, Jesus knowing that he's about to be taken from them. And the third part of the prayer, our passage that Sue read, is a prayer for everyone that would or will become a Christian, who will hear and read what the disciples would pass on about Jesus, and who would make a decision to follow Jesus and believe in Jesus. So if you're a Christian now, Jesus' prayer 2,000 years ago was and is for you. Isn't that remarkable? That prayer looked forward to this relationship that we now enjoy of being God's children, of being Jesus' brother and sister, or sisters and brothers together in God's family. It's just wonderful. It's all made real because if we've given our lives to Jesus, Jesus is in us. Verse 23, Jesus says, I in them. Verse 26, Jesus says, I myself in them. And this is what we call covenant language. This is where the promises of God throughout the Old Testament, that God would rescue us and bless us, he would be our God and we would be his people, this is where they would be fulfilled as Jesus in his prayer looks to the cross. We're going to come back to John 17 at the end, but let's turn now to our given passage for today in Jeremiah chapter 31. It's on page 794. And get a bit more about the covenant promise that was made. But first, just need to do a little bit of just a quick Bible history lesson for us, so we've got the context. Now, a covenant is a binding agreement between two parties, and there are penalties to be paid if you break the covenant. And covenant is a big theme across the Bible. God is a covenant God, we find out. He initiates agreements with people that he chooses. And perhaps the most well-known of the covenants is the one that God made when he gave the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel under the leadership of Moses. In the second book of the Bible, Exodus, God says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. And that covenant emphasized that God had chosen the people to worship him, to worship God alone, to follow his laws, be an example to other nations, and that if they did, they would be greatly blessed by God's presence among them. But God said if they were unfaithful, didn't keep the commandment, there would be dire consequences. And that example that they were to be to other nations was so that other people across the whole world would become part of God's family. And that was an earlier covenant that God made with someone called Abraham. You may have heard of him 500 years or so earlier. God promised Abraham, I will make a great nation and I will bless you. All people on earth will be blessed through you. He says in Genesis 12, the first book of the Bible. So for the promise to Abraham to become a reality, the covenant with Moses and the people needed to be kept. But the Bible tells us that over the next 1,000 years or so, from Moses to Jeremiah, the chosen people of God were unfaithful. There were good periods when things went well, but generally the trajectory was downwards as they turned their back to God and didn't listen to him. The people weren't capable of following God's ways. As God said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1, sin was engraved on their hard hearts. And so over time, the nation of Israel splits in two. To Israel, the northern kingdom, was invaded and overthrown and ceased to exist. Judah in the south, where Jeremiah was, had been invaded twice already by the power of the day Babylon. And now total defeat and exile of Judah to Babylon is about to happen as God administers his justice on his people for breaking the covenant. So God's plan, God's covenant with his people just looks doomed. How will all the peoples of the earth be blessed? It looks hopeless. Yet our passage in Jeremiah, it shows that with God there is always good news. There is always hope. Verse 31, God says, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant. And for the people of the time, that looked forward initially to a return from exile about 70 years later. But God's words through Jeremiah, they look forward 600 years to Jesus and then into a distant future to us today and beyond. So he promises, God promises a new covenant. What does he say about it? Well, in verse 31 and 33, he mentions the name Israel and Judah, which we've just been talking about, were about to disappear really because of their rebellion. But God uses these words symbolically because he's going to restore his people. He's going to have a new chosen people. But this wouldn't be an Israel as a geographical location. It's a spiritual people, which also fulfills that earlier covenant, that promise he made to Abraham. And we now are part of that holy nation, as the disciple Peter, Jesus' disciple Peter called it, the holy nation. We're part of that now. Abraham's blessed family. Verse 32, God states that it will be a different covenant because it will be kept by both sides. God will continue to be the faithful husband that he describes himself as. But how will the other side, how will the people be faithful to him when sin is engraved on hearts? Well, verse 33, God says, for this new covenant, I will put the law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. So instead of being told about God and trying to and failing to obey all the external laws and rituals, God says, I'm going to give them internally, spiritually, the knowledge, the ability to follow me faithfully. Remember our verses in John chapter 17? Jesus in us. That's what God was promising. That's what was fulfilled when Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to us after his death, after his resurrection, after his ascension, his return to heaven. Jesus in us, writing God's laws on our hearts. God's power in us, helping us to be faithful to the covenant. Verse 34 goes even further. Verse 34 says that people won't need to be told to know about God and to follow him. we will know him personally, intimately, in relationship, because Jesus is in us by his Spirit if we follow him. So we don't have to be made to follow him. The Spirit gives us a desire to trust him, to follow him, to obey him. And then, amazingly, at the end of that passage in Jeremiah, God says, "And I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." What a promise. What a promise that Jesus fulfilled for you and for me. Which brings us back to where we started in John 17. The day after Jesus prayed his prayer for us, he died on the cross. And he paid the penalty, that terrible judgment, for every one of us who turned our back on God. In Moses' time, as part of that covenant, God gave symbolic forgiveness of sins by way of the people regularly sacrificing a lamb. But on the cross, Jesus died as the once and for all perfect sacrifice, in payment of every sin ever done and every sin that will be done in the future. When he was raised from the dead on that first Easter Sunday, it meant God had accepted the judgment on Jesus as full payment for every sin that you and I and everyone had ever made and will ever make. He would remember our sins no more. Jesus died and rose in fulfillment of the promise to make a new covenant between God and his people, a covenant written on our hearts. And if we were to read elsewhere in Jeremiah, we'd learn that God says that this covenant is an everlasting covenant, that it's a covenant that can never be broken. And if we put our trust in Jesus by his Holy Spirit, we become permanent parties to that eternal covenant. But you know, me telling you this, a wonderful privilege that it is to be able to stand here and do that, that's not enough. You've got to make a decision. You've got to personally decide to follow Jesus, acknowledge that you turn your back on him, to turn and face him and repent and ask to be blessed by the new covenant. If we've done that, if we've committed to Jesus, our hearts that were hard, that were engraved with sin, are replaced with what the Bible calls a soft heart. In the book of Ezekiel, it says a heart of flesh. A soft heart filled with the love of God, the knowledge of God, a desire to serve and to worship God. Yeah, we're in a sinful world, and so we're going to muck up sometimes. We're going to do things that God doesn't want us to do. But the Bible also tells us that if we're in Jesus, there is no condemnation, because his death covers us all our sins. And sometimes, you know, we will struggle. Tony prayed that in the prayer, didn't she? We're going to struggle sometimes. And sometimes we're even going to doubt that Jesus is coming back, because it seems to take so long and things are bad. Brothers and sisters, remember, God is the totally faithful promise keeper. He promised our rescue and Jesus died. He promised an eternal covenant and Jesus fulfilled it. Jesus promises he will come back and he will take those who believe and trust in him to be with him forever, and Jesus will keep that promise because he's the promise keeper. Before we finish, I just want to look very briefly at a couple of other things that Jesus prayed for us on the day before he went to the cross. Just going to read briefly verses 21 and 23, say similar things. Verse 21, Jesus says that I in them and you in me, verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And then verse 23, Jesus says, I in them, that's us, and you in me, God in Jesus, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus prayed that we will be one, that we will be unified. And that has wide-ranging meanings and implications. But as I've prepared, I've been absolutely sure that this is a word for us from God today, as we go through the vacancy period, waiting for a new vicar. There are a lot of extra things to do at this time. Again, as Tony prayed, a number of people, our church wardens particularly, are under lots of pressure. Things are going to get stretched. Wires will occasionally get crossed. Views will differ. So please pray. Please pray to know how each of you individually will help to maintain unity at St. Patrick's during the vacancy. Please ask the Lord Jesus in prayer how you can offer encouragement in this time, how you can offer practical, real help during the vacancy to share out the load and responsibilities. Secondly, Jesus reminds us in this prayer of our call to make him known to others. So as we come up to Easter, who will you be meeting today, tomorrow, in the next couple of weeks? Where will you be going? What events will you be at? Will you be at the Easter egg hunt or inviting someone to that? Will you be at a drop-in? Will you be at Fourth Friday, the lunch club? What are you going to do so that the people you meet hear about Jesus? The most important thing that you can give them and tell them. Maybe invite them to something at Easter. And then very finally, verses 23 and 26 reminds us of the love that we are part of when we know Jesus as our Saviour, as our rescuer. We are God's children because when we know Jesus, Jesus is in us. And that means that we know the same love that God the Father has for Jesus eternally. So I pray, may we show to each other, and may others look on and see it in us and want that to know that love for themselves and be part of that everlasting covenant that the Lord Jesus has won for us. Amen.